Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth.
Welcome back. Glad you're here in The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth, being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. And by Captivate Network, you can visit them at captivate.com. Very special guest out of New York this week. His name is Tom Attia. And he is the author of The Secrets of Successful Creative Advertising. Needless to say, Tom has done a few other things in his illustrious career, and we'll talk about those here in just a few moments. So we've got Tom for the show today, and looking forward to talking with him, finding out more about the book and what he's been up to lately as well. Shamin Abbas, our activist for excellence out of West Palm in New York, is called Research today. You can never do too much research, right? Gene Bliss, a little bit later on in the show, inspire and drive customer experience. So that's an important thing, too. She's always got such, well, actually both of them have great things to offer every week here. And glad to have them as a part of The Advertising Show.
Yeah, you know, I've been wanting to read this, Ray, and you know this because we've discussed it off the air, but all of the following, and I've got several here, so I'm only going to read a few. All of the following are legitimate companies that didn't spend quite enough time to consider how the company might name, its name might appear online. And, you know, our guest today, Tom Attia is, is a wordsmith, came up through copywriting, is now an astute creative director and has been for many years. Will, I'm sure, appreciate this as he sits in our virtual green room. For example, if you just jot down on a piece of paper a company called Experts Exchange, and if you look at their website, it's a .com website, it becomes Expert Sex Change, if you look at that closely. Another one, I'm just going to go ahead and allow you to write it down and study it yourself. It's a place, I would imagine, where you can buy great pens, like the kind that you write.
Oh,
and the name of the
going.
Company is called Pen Island.
Yes, of course.
And if you look at penisland.com,
you see different things.
Well, you see a different thing.
Yeah.
A different thing than Pen Island. But anyway, there are several others, and I'll be mentioning those in future shows.
Not to mention the names of the business, but sometimes when people do the online, the web stuff, and they spell their name with a number or a letter, or it looks like it would be great in print, but it doesn't work.
Right.
And stand a snowball's chance of working on the internet. I love those.
Or they've got a nice name and a nice company name, and then they've got .net or ., you know, some
don't do that.
Website that's, and you think, well, I guess .com must have been taken.
You think so?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
This is from USA Today. Marketers use ads to remind customers of their longevity. Well, that's a good thing, I guess, huh? It says, old is the new young in advertising. There's a slogan for you. As big-name marketers use their longevity to give brands the aura of stability and in the economic turmoil. I suppose that has some benefits this way. Post-shredded wheat joins the diverse brands to basically wearing their wrinkles on their sleeves. A new ad for shredded wheat, which was created back in 1892, says the product put the no in innovation. Something like that. Speaking of old things that are kind of, in this particular case, gone, it was, who was the agency in Chicago that just recently went away? J. Walter Thompson. That was started in 1890.
Founded on, you know what, client? Ford.
Was it Ford?
Ford was one of their original clients and had it as a record in 100 and some odd years, as I recall.
So now, no more JWT in Chicago.
They closed the Chicago office.
They should close the Chicago office. It seems there was a bit of politics involved there, not necessarily a lack of business-driven stuff, though, although they've had some tough times. But it's kind of sad to see something like that.
It kind of makes you wonder that, you know, whoever was running the Chicago office or whatever client or clients that was helping fund or the needs of the Chicago area JWT office apparently went away, I suppose. But
as it did, yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Tom Atiyah is going to be joining us here in just a few moments on the Advertising Show. Right now we've got, for you, Shamin Abbas, our Activist for Excellence. And today we're going to talk about research.
And now it's time for Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional. Now, here's your host, the uncompromising Shamin Abbas.
Research, research, research. With the hectic pace that those in advertising, marketing, and public relations tend to work at, we often feel there just isn't time to read the endless trades or catch up on the headlines. Yet information gathering is something that can immediately inform our choices when we're creating new ways for our clients to reach their audience. I absolutely insist on my team reading the local papers, the national headlines, the trades, and our clients' target publications. The move to put everything in print on the web means that it becomes easier for all of us to access information, troll for data, and pick up an idea that will inspire creative thinking. Now, research isn't a very glamorous sounding task, but it is vital. One of the first things we do when we bring a college student in for an internship is turn him or her loose on our subscription media databases and assign research products for various clients. It's the fastest way to get them right up to speed. Knowing how to troll the search engines for information is another necessary skill that can net you tremendous amounts of relevant information, data, and opinion. On the PR side, research can mean the difference between a pretty good pitch about a client and a really great one, informed by the perfect nugget of quantifiable data or the latest trends as tracked by the trade associations or research organizations. Relevancy in this age of information saturation is vital. If your team isn't out there cherry-picking useful tidbits from the media stream, you're doing yourselves and your clients a disservice. Create a list of must-read national media for your team and make them stick to it. Reward your team for bringing to the group new sources of information. Make them sign up for daily emails from your industry trades so at least they'll be reading the headlines. And you'll be amazed at the ideas that will flow.
You've been listening to Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional with host Shamin Abbas. Shamin is president and founder of Shamin Abbas Public Relations, a full-service agency providing local, regional, national, and international media relations, special event production, and inventive promotion, with offices in New York City and West Palm Beach. To learn more, visit ShaminAbbasPR.com. That's ShaminAbbasPR.com.
Thanks, Shamin Abbas, on the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. About to bring on Tom Atiyah, author of The Secrets of Successful Creative Advertising. But listen, there's more. Tom has held executive creative positions at some of New York's finest agencies, including Y&R and the agencies of the Interpublic Group. He was written extraordinarily successful creative for many major brands, Dr. Pepper, Jell-O, Time Magazine, The Village Voice, Lifetime Television, Citibank, and many others. Won all the majors, if you have known the names, the One Show, the Telly, the Mobius, yep, they're his as well. And today he's president and creative director of his own consulting firm called Heavy Creative Inc. That's heavycreative.com. And we're going to talk about that and the fact that he's got a brand new book called The Secrets of Successful Creative Advertising. So we're going to bring Tom on here in just a moment. On the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, being powered by Shipple.com in a program called Tendency. Check it out at SCHIPUL.com. And Ed is going to do a great job for us. Well, thank you, Ed. On the Advertising Show, back in just a minute with more.
Here comes another typical commercial. I could get your attention by blowing a foghorn, or maybe an awesome scream. But even that doesn't cut through the clutter enough to really captivate your attention. If you're an advertiser and you really want your message to be heard, then reach for the golden nugget of advertising. It's what's called a captive audience. One company delivers this much sought-after captive audience. And believe it or not, it's just the people you want to reach, business professionals and decision makers. It all happens in 23 of North America's largest and most progressive markets. And the captive audience is right there in the elevators of select premier office towers. Over 8,000 high-quality video screens get people's attention with what research proves they want, news and information. It's all combined with your branded message in a way that only this captive audience sees and absorbs. Cut the waste in your advertising budget by reaching just who you want to reach. Don't just advertise. Captivate your audience. To find out more, click on Captivate.com.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth.
And then, nothing takes it off like Noxzema medicated shave.
Welcome back, Ray Shillins. Brad Forsyth here on The Advertising Show. Brad, you and I are of the same baby boom time, basically. And if I mention Grey Poupon, well,
I'm in a limo and I'm rolling the window down.
It's not just a limo. It's
Rolls Royce. You're right.
Well, there's some connectivity to today's guest here, Tom Attia, out of New York. Tom, welcome to the Advertising Show.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
So, were you the one that created that famous Rolls Royce roll down the window, needing
I worked on Grey Poupon when it could only afford beautiful color magazine ads.
Oh.
And it is because of the success of those ads that they could afford those Rolls-Royce ads. When they first they came to one of the Interpublic agencies, at that time it was owned by Hugh Blind, and the company said, well, we'd like to do full-page black and white ads because we can't afford color. And we talked them into doing gem-like smaller ads with very inviting headlines that began to create the mystique. For instance, we had a sommelier holding the bottle as if it were wine, and it said, you know, every year is a good year, stuff like that, or maybe we should seal our mustard with a cork.
Well, obviously a great branding campaign that they built off of. They didn't. They certainly did not lose any of the foundational work that you did for the brand. Let me ask you, Tom, of all the advertising greats back from the 50s and 60s, Birnbach, Ogilvy, we talked a little bit about George Lois off the air prior to the Today Show, who has had the greatest influence on your career?
Well, I think that when you come into advertising, if you're lucky, you meet a mentor. And when I began in a training program at Interpublic and was sent to one of their agencies, and I had only been writing for a short time when two of the stars, one of them left, he went to another large agency, and the art director was looking for somebody to work with, and he was nosing around looking at everybody's work. And he saw what I'd been writing, and he said, well, who do you want to work with? He was a vice president. He said, well, I want to work with him. And he said, you want to work with him? He's just beginning. I said, yeah, but look what he's writing. So I was very lucky, and that fellow is a great art director. His name is Harvey Barron. Mm-hmm. But that was my personal apprenticeship. But I think what's incumbent upon you when you get into the business is you look at the people around you who are doing great work. I was at an agency for a while, for instance, called Rosenfeld, Searwitz, and Lawson, which we all know about, which left. Mm-hmm. And Lenny and I did a lot of great work together, and it was nice. And Ronnie liked my work. They brought me there primarily on the crest of the Dr. Pepper commercials I was writing. But I think you read, you know, and you begin with, I'm only referring to the people who influenced me. Mm-hmm. But you begin with Claude Hopkins, where you get an adumbration of the idea that you have to have a selling proposition like steam clean bottles, you know. And then you get to Ross Reeves, who tells you about the unique selling proposition. He gives voice to the meaning, right? Mm-hmm. Makes it specific. But that's all kind of nuts and bolts advertising. And then the magic begins to come alive with Bill Birnbach, mm-hmm. you know, who with his thing about, you know, saying the best thing about a brand is the alpha and omega of advertising, you know. And I think that David Ogilvy was fine, but I consider Birnbach the father of creative advertising.
I'm sorry, I was going to say he's certainly not only the father of creative advertising, but really the person that created the concept of the big idea, wouldn't you say?
Yes, I think so, but it depends again on what you do. What you do is a big idea.
Sure.
One of the points I try to make in the book is the creative advertising, as we understand the tradition of creative advertising, can actually be far more effective than hard sell advertising, mm-hmm. because creative advertising can use all the resources of visual and verbal art to magnify the selling proposition, whereas hard sell advertising is reduced to much more basic tools, for instance, shouting, you know, or repetition, crazy type. So what I try to do is show that by the proper use of the tools of creative advertising to dramatize or magnify the selling proposition, creative advertising can be even more effective than it is. In fact, one of the things I discussed toward the end of the book is that I believe that the creative revolution faltered because many of its even most outstanding practitioners didn't have a very definite idea what these tools were for, so that rather than using them to magnify why people should buy something, they used them to exaggerate the selling format and subordinated with that, you know, the reason to buy the product. So it failed, and everybody believed it was going to work better. The account executives believed it would work better. The clients believed it would work better. And many times it did. But it only worked better when the resources of the brilliant application of visual and verbal art were brought to bear on enlarging the selling proposition. As soon as we had vampire video, or I think there's something called vampire verbiage, as soon as we had these things detracting from the reason to buy it, we started to fail. And as we failed, the creative revolution was subordinated. And it's been actually pretty subordinated, I think, pretty much since then. But the people who took over have done a pretty good job of making advertising a worldwide enormous business. But I think that the creative advertising is sort of like the lion behind the curtain. Everybody's pretending it's not there. But it can growl, and it can really make a place for itself. But I think... if it can be brought back to the level of excitement that it once had, that it must be through its appropriate application, so that all these tools are used to magnify the selling proposition rather than ever to subordinate it. If that comes back, if creative advertising is ever going to come back, it's going to come back that way. And I think that I've put in the book exactly the way to go about creating this sort of advertising. In fact, I believe that this sort of advertising could actually be the thing that restarts client budgets, because if you say that there's a way to optimize the creative process, which I provide, called the Creative Exploratory, so that everything, you don't just do a great ad, you do the right great ad.
Well, hold on to that thought, because we're going to explore the Creative Exploratory.
On the book, it's called The Secrets of Successful Creative Advertising. Our guest, Tom Attia, here in New York, with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show. Stay right here.
Why do more media professionals read IWantMedia.com? IWantMedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. IWantMedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says IWantMedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit IWantMedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
Do you know exactly how to eat an Oreo? Well, to do it, you unscrew it very fast.
And what creative wouldn't want to get their hands on this book here? It's called The Secrets of Successful Creative Advertising. Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth back with Tom Attia out of New York on The Advertising Show. Tom, it's good to have you here.
Thank you very much. A delight to be here.
Yeah, and I remember Ray talking to George Lois here on the show and him mentioning about how back in the late 50s,
Bernbach.
It was when he worked with Bernbach and, as he calls him, Bill, and that it was unusual in that a writer and a graphic person got together to actually create advertising, whereas it used to be done separate. The writer would do work, and then they'd go get with the graphics person and put graphics to words, and we're going to talk a little bit about that with Tom. Tom, before the break, we were talking about, and you mentioned the Creative Exploratory, and you lay the foundation of an idea that you have coined as the Creative Exploratory in your book. Take us through the three fundamental questions a person needs to answer to develop successful creative advertising today.
Well, thank you. They're really the preliminary questions, but they cover the whole, actually the whole process. You sit back and say, what is the best thing to say about this product or service? And that is the strategy. Then what is the best way to say it, or the right way to say it? That's the creative. And then where is the best place to say it? And that's the media. And when you answer all those questions correctly, you optimize the advertising. So we're not talking about, but when it comes to the creative, the strategy will usually be well-developed, very coherent. The media will be very well-developed and very coherent. The creative part will be still hit and miss, because no matter how bright the creative people are, they don't have a way to organize their thinking that's simple and responsive to the creative process, something that enables them to see where they've been, know where they haven't been, and to start to group their ideas according to the various possible ideational areas in the strategy. And when you start to do that, you actually free your mind to go on. And as you develop ideas, you don't stop at the first great idea, because it's probably not the right great idea. Mm-hmm. Exactly the right thing said exactly the right way. That's different, you know, and in fact, you'll get a lot of great ideas. We all get great ideas almost as soon as we start to think. But is it exactly the way, the most effective, inviting, I repeat, inviting, way to stage the selling proposition? Does it bring it to the center of the stage so that the whole, the overall metaphor of the commercial works to make the point? The selling proposition isn't mentioned at random as you go along or supported by random comments. The entire idea of the commercial in its wholeness presents the idea and therefore magnifies it at an optimal level. And the exploratory allows you to go about the creative process in a way that takes the random nature away. It served me very well for many years. As I say, everybody rebels at the idea of a little organization, but you're sitting there with your art director sending ideas, you know, sharing ideas, going back and forth, and after about a half hour, you kind of start to lose track, but you don't know where, you start to lose the landscape. You're in the woods now, right? Hmm. But you need a way to map out the creative terrain. What happens when you start to group your ideas in different areas of appeal, that you begin to see which areas are the most productive. They're alive with ideas, and you'll see which areas are reticent. They're very retentive. There's very little in them. And then you might want to concentrate on the most productive areas, and then suddenly you see the right bright idea. And why do you know it's the right bright idea? Because you now have a vision of the creative possibilities. One of the metaphors I use is that in most creative, you sort of run into a dark room and you feel around and you grab a few things that feel good and you run out with them, but you don't know what's in that room. But if you have an organized way to go in there and think, it's like lighting up the room. You begin to light it up and you see what's in there, and then you can pick the best thing. And you take it out and show it to people. And when you present, really for the first time in the history of advertising, you can sit back and you can say, this is right. not only because I recommend it, but because it's based on a knowledge of the options. And you can share those options with the client if you want to. I never go into a presentation without the Creative Exploratory typed up and in the presentation kit in case the client says, well, I like that, but is there blah, blah, blah?
Yeah.
You know, so I will say, well, let me show you why this is right. And I'll say, you could think in this area. You could do your creative work here. You could do it here. You could do it here. But look here. Look what's here. And this is the most appropriate way to magnify that selling proposition. If creative advertising gets to the point where it operates at this level of what I would say is efficiency in terms of staging the selling proposition, I believe the excitement created by that increase in communications power could restart client budgets even in this distressed time, because they will see that people who are doing their advertising are suddenly achieving greater success. If you sit at home at night and watch television and watch the commercials go by, you start to ask yourself, does that commercial represent the most appropriate visual and verbal magnification of the selling proposition?
And in most cases, the answer is no.
Absolutely. It's like a train wreck. So imagine now advertising professionally done by bright creative people with the tool to let them stage the reason to buy it in a bright, inviting, intelligent way that is perfectly appropriate to the product and the audience.
Shedding some light on the, hang on just a minute, Tom, shedding some light on the successful creative advertising. That's the name of the book, The Secrets of Successful Creative Advertising. Tomatia is our guest here at the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe. We're going to take a break, come back and talk a little bit more as well. We hope you'll stay right here.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
Hey, meet the swinger, Polaroid swinger.
What you need to know about creative, the secrets of successful creative advertising. Here, our special guest out of New York this weekend is Tom Attia, the author of that book. And Tom, it's a pleasure having you here. Welcome back.
Thank you very much. My pleasure to be here.
You know, and for those listening today, I want to encourage you to check out Tom's book. It's broken down, and after we get through the foundational material here in the book, it's broken down to where it addresses each particular secret of successful creative, and then it goes into slogans. One chapter is dedicated to print and television, et cetera. And before we talk about the successful creative radio commercials and jingles, which would only be appropriate since we are doing a podcast today, I want to get your take here on exactly defining for our audience, Tom. You discuss in your book, you say that all advertising should have moment. Our listeners, I'm sure, would love to know exactly what do you mean by that?
When advertising has moment, it's created to approach the audience at the psychological moment in which we expect the advertising will reach them in terms of their mindset toward the product and the society. Okay? And when you, so that's what I mean by moment. It's where they are psychologically at the moment you expect the advertising will reach them. Do they like the brand? Don't they like the brand? Is there an improvement, whatever it is. What am I telling these people? And when I tell it to them, I want to tell them in the way that will fit with their outlook, in a way that they can sit back and say, "Ooh, that's great," or that's just right, you see.
And thus you have engagement and you have a positive impact on them.
Yes, exactly. The book talks about moment. I have a sort of a section called a potpourri of secrets, which I should call a bunch of secrets. But one of the things I wanted to talk about, and when you watch television commercials, you realize that a lot of people are doing it who don't really get that there's a star, that the commercial has a star, that the star gets the main lines, and that the other actors work to bring out those lines, all right? And that the star is the protagonist, and the other person is the antagonist. And you get this when you watch commercials, and watch this, the lines in the commercial being sprinkled around like salt and pepper, so that the audience is sitting there jerking its head around trying to put this together and make sense of a selling proposition. And it doesn't matter whether it's humorous or whatever it is. You know, think of, let's go back a long way and think of George Burns and Gracie Allen. Did George ever crack a joke? No. Mm-hmm. You knew to look at Gracie. He asked her questions, and she made funny comments. This is a basic form of byplay, but you don't see it in commercials. You see just random comments and stuff, and the focus will shift from one person to the other. These things all create tremendous inefficiencies. But once everything's working right, once you have a central character with the message, the proper resistance to bring it out, other people asking questions to help bring it out, and a staging that is intended the whole thought in its wholeness, not in just its pieces, but in its wholeness to make the overall point. You know, I talk about certain classic commercials. I go from actually, you know, the beginnings of creative advertising in the 50s with Bill Birnbach, right down to internet advertising. I have a section of internet advertising. I do a great deal of that.
Before we have a chance to wrap up the segment, I want to get your take, if you could just briefly take us through the secrets of successful creative radio commercials.
Oh, sure. Well, the great secret of radio is people have said this before, and that is, but I don't think they've said it quite the way I said it. The magic of radio is that it is a verbal medium that is actually a visual medium. And it works that way the same way a classic lyric does. A classic lyric is not about, I love you, baby, you know I do. It paints a picture. You know, our love is here to stay. Gibraltar may crumble, the Rockies may tumble, right?
Right.
Or you're the top, you're the Empire State, you're the Mona Lisa, you're the Tower of Pisa. These are called objective correlatives. They're external things you bring in to illustrate a point. But all I'm saying is, if I paint a picture, I don't just tell you words. I say, you know, that night you were standing on the beach in the moonlight by the palm tree, and I walked over to you, right? Now, you're just hearing words, but you're seeing a picture. And a brand can be brought to life that way visually in radio. And the most amazing thing is, in television, that visual is happening for you. You don't have to do it.
Right.
When you use words properly in radio, that visual is happening right where the advertiser wants to be, which is in the consumer's mind. The picture is being created by the consumer in their minds. It's tremendously powerful. The other thing that makes radio commercials effective is exactly the opposite of that, and that is the recognition that it is an auditory medium, so that you can put some sort of sound at the beginning or some sort of soundtrack, whatever, that captures people's attention right away. You know, as George Bernard Shaw said, you know, the way to get the audience's attention is at the beginning of a play is you fire off a gun, right? So the thing is, I'm saying there can be a noise, you know, some auditory thing. But by far the most powerful thing is that words can paint pictures that happen in the mind of the listener. And when you write those kinds of radio commercials, people are actually seeing the commercial.
That's the way it should be. Speaking of the gun that got Lincoln's attention as well, if you might remember that.
Right there.
Yeah, something like that.
There you go.
We have we wish you so much success with this new book, and obviously you've done a lot of great things in your career as well. Website, by the way, is called SuccessfulCreativeAdvertising.com. Just go get the book, okay? The Secrets of Successful Creative Advertising. Tom Atiyah, it's been fun having you here today.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure. It's been a real delight, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you and your listeners.
On The Advertising Show, Ray Schilling, Brad Forsyth, back in just a minute with more.
There is somewhere better to get inspired creative ideas, and this is where it's at. OpenAd.net, the first online platform for advertisers, changing the way that ideas are created and traded. Access nearly 11,000 creative minds representing 125 countries around the world, waiting online to have a go at your brief. Imagine the impact such range and diversity of talent can have on your next advertising campaign. All creative work is IP cleared before you get it. We take care of all the details, while you get brilliant ideas in a fraction of the time, at a lower cost, and with a lot less fuss. No endless meetings, no away days. When a client needed a PR campaign to include people who couldn't make it to the G8 rally, they got 53,000 people to join a virtual protest and a campaign that won 2 international creative awards. OpenAd.net, busting down the walls of the ad industry. Put us to the test. Just go to openad.net and give us a try. What have you got to lose? The future starts here.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schilling and Brad Forsyth.
From San Francisco comes...
Rice, a-roni, the San Francisco treat. Rice, a-roni. The flavor can't be beat.
Thanks to Tom, go get the book, The Secrets of Successful Creative Advertising. And how come we don't have any advertising on for Grey Poupon anymore? I haven't seen much of anything like that.
I don't know.
And we forgot to ask Tom, did you know that the commercials that he wrote for Dr. Pepper are in the permanent collection at the Museum of Television and Radio in New York?
Hmm.
Isn't that cool?
Should have... He may have been the originator of the I'm a Pepper, You're a Pepper.
I bet.
Should have asked him that.
There was... Tom?
Get him back on the phone.
He's gone.
Yeah. Well, we'll give out his cell phone. You can call him directly.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Andy Newman is next week here on The Advertising Show. His book is called Pow! Right Between the Eyes.
And he has buddies with Jay Leno and Seinfeld and all kinds of interesting comedians. Really? And has an interesting entrepreneurial background and put on some kind of comedy fest, as I recall.
Wow.
Should be a great interview. Looking forward to yucking it up with old Andy.
We like that. We can use some yucking. It's a good idea.
Yeah.
Speaking of yucking,
Well,
this may be fun. It may catch you funny. Gene Bliss, The Customer Experience. Inspire and drive customer experiences. Let's listen to that.
Welcome to The Customer Experience. Making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome. With your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Gene Bliss.
Here's another action to drive customer focus that won't cost a thing, but your personal passion. Listen to the front line and talk to your customers. The front line is talking to your customers every day. On a regular basis, sit yourself down in the center of them and ask them what the key issues are. But don't just listen. Write down the issues and get someone assigned to take care of the major ones. Then personally reach out to customers to understand at a greater level of granularity just what's happening so you know what to do about it. Then fix the issues. This was a big part of our customer strategy in the early days of Land's End. Each month, we repeated this conversation with every part of the company. This approach is simple, it works, and it puts leaders' skin in the game. When you let your company and your customers know of your direct understanding and involvement in resolving these issues, it will have an impact in setting a standard that people will follow.
This has been your weekly installment of The Customer Experience with Gene Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Gene is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to CustomerBliss.com.
Thank you, Gene Bliss, on The Advertising Show with Ray Schilling and Brad Forsyth. Don't forget, next week it is, it's laughable, it's funny, it's worthwhile. They're all good, though. Andy Newman, author of POW, Right Between the Eyes, here at the Advertising Show. Hope you enjoyed the show today, and tell a friend, as we say, about the Advertising Show. AdvertisingShow.com. It's accessible anytime you want it. We're here, okay? And we'll keep you company. The Advertising Show is brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. And by Captivate Network. You can visit them at Captivate.com. With Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe, we'll see you next week. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production.